How many's making plans for eternity? Hallelujah. Ironically, this morning I was thinking, boy, that song right there would sure go good today. So evidently the Lord wanted it sang because I didn't ask her. And I'm glad that I have hope of eternal life. I mean, he's glad for that today. Praise God. I don't live in this life in fear and in sorrow and despair. I live this life in hope and victory. Is anybody living that kind of life here? I don't get up in the morning fearful of tomorrow. Well, Junior, I don't get up here worried about what's going to happen to me because I'm serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I like what Sister Marty said. We need to kind of get our vision, a new vision of who he is. And how many's glad that he is still God? Preached on that here a few Sunday nights ago. God is still God. Look around. He's got the stars numbered. He's got them named. And he is still God. Praise God. And I, I didn't get to hear all of her teaching today in the class, but in the starting of her teaching today, it just simply a lot of things going on in our lives here, a lot of pressure in our little church here, and folks are under a lot of stress and a lot of decisions and a lot of sickness going on there, and there are just times in our life that we're going to have to realize that where we're at right now is not forever. Y'all doing all right back there? Y'all sound kind of quiet. I'm preaching today on it's not forever. Amen. Now, there are just a few things in this life do last forever. But the most things that you and I encounter in this life is not a permanent thing. Y'all know that? Praise God. I'm going to preach it today. Hopefully it'll help somebody. Maybe encourage you a little bit. Because I know there's times in your life that it just seems like this is never going to change. This is never going to get no better. But I'm here to tell you that where we're at today is not a permanent thing. This is not forever here. Praise God. We're not going to forever be battling cancer. We're not forever going to be battling heart disease. Come on now. We're not forever going to be battling pressures of this life and worrying about paying and concerned about paying tomorrow and wondering what's going to happen to Social Security. What about our insurance? Are we going to have any insurance? Is there going to be any way? There's going to be a time in our life we're not going to have those things to contend with. Are you looking for that day? I'm preparing for that day today. I am. I'm preparing for that day. Praise God that I don't have these things in my life to contend with. But we're here today. You can look up in 1 Peter chapter 4. I got some familiar scriptures to refresh your memory about today and this morning to go along with everything that's been sung and the teaching of the class of just maybe just giving us a new vision of who God is in our lives and to know he's still God in our lives. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 4, if you've got that found. Amen. Everybody got 1 Peter? Stand with us. Chapter 4. Scriptures we've heard. A lot of times we quote parts of scriptures and we stand on pieces and portions of scripture, and it's good to have the whole scripture in your heart and in your memory to know that and be able to quote this word. Chapter 4 of verse 12. 1 Peter 4:12. Behold, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. Did you hear that? Now, we like to preach and teach and quote the scripture of not thinking it's strange that some fiery trial come our way, but we don't really quote oftentimes the next verse. And it's hard to live by this word sometimes. How many's ever recognized that? There's times we're going to have to go against nature. We're going to have to go against what our heart says sometimes as far as our natural man's concerned. There's times we're going to have to, he said, rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Let's pray today. Lord, we thank you tonight, this morning, praising you, Lord, for victory. Thanking you, Lord, for prayers that you're answering in our congregation. Lord, we're praising you for miracles we're seeing just coming open in our own lives here. We're thanking you, Lord, for what you're doing and praising you, Lord, for victory. Lord, we know today that there's trials and needs that come on in our life. But Lord, today, refresh our memory to know that you are still God and prayer still changes things as we walk in this life today. Lord, I praise you right now and thank you, Lord. If there's one here that doesn't know you, speak to their hearts, I pray. Strengthen them, Lord, today. Draw them nigh and anoint me to say what you once said. And I'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. My mind can't help but go to just things that affect me. And, you know, we can have a lot of things that are going on in our lives, but, you know, in reality, things that affect us are what we really have going on in our life. And just keeping the thought today as I'm preaching, this is not forever. And sometimes, can I tell the devil something here today? Sin that we were born into is not forever when I come to know Jesus. Hey, how many are you glad for that this morning? Despair that we might be walking in. Brother Mike and I visited this morning about a friend of ours, an acquaintance that we know, and a good friend of Brother Mike said, is in despair and needing God. Brother Mike, I'm glad to know that God's still God in his life when he turns to him as much as he was in your life. Are you glad God still hears our prayers? But I want to touch on something here before I get farther into this. And I'm preaching on the first part of this about what is not forever. Then we're going to hit a few spots of what is forever before we conclude today. But as I was going through this day and through my weeks and the last few weeks, my mind began to go back. And I was sharing last night, I believe it was Roy we was talking, and there's something that the folks have said here in the last few years, and they've got this term that they call it, for you folks that have lived a long life and you've worked and served God, and for even those that haven't, for those that have went on about their lives and they become, we would call it probably the term elderly. Brother Bobby says he loves old people. I'm getting closer to being old enough for him to love me. And there's a term that is mentioned, Sister Shirley, it's called golden years. And I've heard that term brought forth several times over the year. And I said, well, they've met their golden years. They've reached those golden years. And I know my mom and dad will be here in this tape probably eventually. And I'll just be honest with you. And when I go and visit with them and spend time with them and help them as things need to be done and so on and so forth, I've come to the conclusion that whoever come up claiming and naming this golden years wasn't in the golden years. They wasn't there. They was probably about 25, maybe 30, maybe 40, made $1 million a year. And well, they just come up with the conclusion that when you get into your 70s and 80s, and if God wishes to bless you, into your 90s, then you've reached your golden years. How many loves these two golden folks here? Brother Barney and Sister Tyner. If they don't inspire you, I'm telling you, you can't be inspired. You're not even connected with God. These folks here don't inspire you. They come to church, they don't feel like it. They go when they don't seem like it's possible to go. And just to be frank about it, the simple things are now hard. Simple things are hard now. Things that you just, you know, didn't have any problems doing, you have to stop and think about it and hope that you can think the right thing. Golden years. I told Mama, I said, Mama, as frustrations would rise up, confusion would flow through her mind, and just the stress and pressure of where they're at. I said, Mama, try to look at what's good. Try to be thankful and look at just what God has done and just be thankful that you're able to stay home and just try to bring those things together in these golden years. I didn't use that term to her. But that term just keeps rolling up, and I keep thinking about that. And I want to say this, church, remembering that this is not forever. You may be in despair this morning. You may seem like there's no hope in your life. This is probably not another shouting message, but we shouted Sunday night. Sorry you missed it. This is not a place in your life that you even want to stay. This is not a place that you even want to be. And I want to tell you this morning, it's not forever. There's an enemy of our soul slips up on our shoulder, begins to whisper in your left ear, and begins to tell you things are not going to change. Just rejoice, he begins to say there's no hope for you. He begins to tell you that you can never have that joy you once had 20 years ago. You can never have that victory you had as a Christian. Anybody with me? You'll never have that joy. You'll never have that peace. He even gets over in your other ear and begins to tell you all the things you've done wrong, the reason you're there. Because it's your fault that you're there. If you had done this or if you had done that, you wouldn't be where you're at right now. I'm here to also proclaim to the enemy of our soul, this is not forever. Praise God. Webster would define permanent as something lasting, and I like this part of his definition, intended to be last indefinitely without change. I like that word, Sister Marty, intended. Amen. The devil intends to steal you away from God. The devil intends to get you in a place that you can't function. The devil intends to have your mind so controlled by the world around you. He intends to have friction going on in your home. Can somebody have a witness with me right now? He intends to have you despaired and pulled away, young people, by the cares of this world. He intends to have your minds polluted by the things of this world. He also intends to make you think that when you fail, that there's no hope for you, that you can't ever get back because you have committed sin. Has anybody read that my Lord and Savior died for our sins? Has anybody read that he said you can be an overcomer by the word of your testimony? Anybody in the blood of the Lamb? Anybody read that? Praise God. Has anybody read the scripture where he says, I'll go with you even to the end of this world? Have you read the scripture where he says, casting all your cares upon me, for I care it for you? Have you read those scriptures that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? Amen. I'm here to proclaim to you that what the devil intends for you to think, what the devil intends for you to believe is permanent, is simply temporary. Praise God. I feel God in this house. I believe there's a lot of folks here that you believe where you're at is a permanent situation. Praise be unto God. Jesus came and he died to change those things that look permanent and unchangeable and unable to get over and to get past. And you find yourself as you begin to battle through life, there comes to be simply a few things in your life that kind of you hang your hat on. Come on now. There comes to be just a few things that you seem like you can't get around, you can't get over, you can't get around it, under it, or any way around it. It just keeps coming up, coming up, coming up. The devil whispers in your ear, this is never going to change. And I preach to you again, this is not forever. Unless you want it to be. Can I hurt our feelings? Can I hurt us? Can I hurt us where we live? Sometimes you don't want to change. Sometimes you like it right where you're at. Amen. Whew, that was hard to take, wasn't it? You go home, pray about it. Is there any way for us to get over it, get around what's hindering us? Are we already convinced and say it and speak it? Listen, if you've got to the point you speak it, you're already binding yourself. You're putting God's hands in a noose, in a hole that he can't work for you because you're already speaking doubt and unbelief. Woo, this is good if you'll listen to me.
God's wanting to tell us something here. It's not forever. It doesn't matter what kind of sin we've been in. Doesn't matter how many times you've come to this altar and prayed and we have failed. Doesn't matter if we prayed and things got worse. Are you hearing me? Doesn't matter if you're praying for healing and you get sicker. Doesn't matter if these things happen. It still means that this is not going to stay this way. God is going to move in your life and He's moving in my life. Can you give the Lord a clap of praise in this house? What if Jesus, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, Lord, Father, my will, not yours. What if he just said, this is going to hurt too bad for me, and I don't deserve it. You know what they said about me, Father. You know how they've ridiculed me. You know how they've said things bad against me. I can't do this. Can I tell you, can't never done anything. But I tell you who has, that's the one who says I can, and I will, and I shall. Hallelujah. Are you glad for those words that's in our vocabulary? Not if and but yes and amen. We can, and we will, and we shall be overcomers. And by the help and the grace of the Lord, I will overcome this in my life. I realize this sorrow that comes our way. I realize that you could find yourself a book and you could get you on those legal tablets that Sister Marty writes her lessons on, and you could write about 3 different categories down through there in that one page of all the reasons why you can't. Are you still following me? Of all the reasons why you don't have victory. Of all the reasons your joy has slipped out. Of all the reasons why you don't have no desire to go to church. Y'all still writing on this pad? You're on line 2 right now, aren't you? Preacher didn't do this. Preacher didn't say that. Preacher said this. Sister so-and-so done that. Brother so-and-so done this. And sister so-and-so didn't do that. And can you believe the preacher didn't shake my hand? He's not called me. He's not prayed for. He don't care. Church don't care. Come on, I'm still writing on column 2 right here. My mama done this and my daddy done that, and this has happened here and this has done that, and I don't have the money. I don't have no strength. We preached the other night about God is still God. When Isaiah spoke about rise up with wings as eagle, he did not put in the equation how old you were. Because I'm here to tell you right now, it doesn't matter if you're 5 or you're 50 or 15 or 75 or 95. God is still God in your life when you put into action His word that He's proclaimed us. Hallelujah to the Lamb. When I find and get myself in a place that I make a mistake, and folks, I'm here to tell you right now, your pastor's no better than you. I'll make mistakes. I'll fall down and I'll commit a sin, or I'll kind of make a mistake in my life. And the first thing I do is not get mad and upset and cry around and say, Lord, you know, so-and-so this and so-and-so that. I want to do like Peter. I want to weep bitterly. If we make a mistake. If we sin, I really shouldn't say if, I should say when. Because we are in a place of not being perfect. This is not forever. I will have a body one day that will not have any kind of problems. I'm just looking for that. I won't take no diabetes pill every day. I won't take no pain medicine for these stiff joints. And how many is glad that you got a joint to be stiff? Huh? Half full or half empty? What is it? I'm ashamed to say and sorry to say the church world most of the time looks at the glass as being half empty. Woe unto me. You find me somewhere. You say, preacher, you can preach like that. Nothing's going on in your life. I know that you folks are going through a lot of things. We all are under pressure. But you find me one place in the scriptures where my Father or where Jesus come with sympathy and felt sorry for anybody. If you want to have a party, have a Holy Ghost party. He'll show up for that. He won't show up for a pity party. Elijah was crying around, feeling sorry for himself. I'm the only one left. Nobody loves me. Have you ever heard that said? Nobody loves me. You're calling God a liar. When you get to that place in your life, I tell you somebody loves you. My Father sent His only begotten Son for you and for me. He loves us. God don't show up for those things. He said, Elijah said, what are you doing here? He never one time addressed the issue of those that went against him, that he was by himself and Jezebel had put out a decree that she was going to have his head. So what? What the world? What does it matter what the devil says? It matters what God says. They're fighting tooth and toenail right now trying to stop preachers from preaching the truth of God's word. They're trying to stop the airwaves from somebody. They're trying to get a Bible. They've got a Bible together. They're working on a Bible that will be user-friendly to the Muslims. It won't offend them. My God, I thank God, and I would be scared to death if I had my name below that Bible. My, my. What are you saying, preacher? It doesn't matter what plan the devil has. It matters if you're in God's plan. In His will. His will will change your life. His will do things in your life. Well, you just don't understand. What's a circumstance? Circumstance is any happenings or fact, event, condition surrounding and affecting a person. That's a circumstance. Anything that comes around you that was going to affect you, you could put that as a circumstance in your life. You get a bad report from the doctor. I know some of you have had that bad report, and I hate that. I wish I, you know, as your pastor, I wish I had control over every doctor in this world. Man, I wish I had control over every bank account in this world. Y'all with me? Amen. I can tell you if I did, you wouldn't have to have any kind of nerve pill. You could lay your head down at night and everything would be good. Y'all with me? Now let's get back in the real world. That's some kind of fantasy movie you've watched. It's nonsense. It gives you some kind of false hope. We don't walk by that. We walk by faith. We don't walk by. When you think you've got a control, then you are in trouble. A pastor that thinks he has to have control of everything, he's a fool. Y'all hear me say that? I don't know who's going to hear this on tape. I'll probably get calls. If I had an email address, I'd get an email, but I ain't got one. When you get to the place that we don't have to be in control and let God take care of it. Now listen, we got to do things in our life. We got to be honest and integrity. We've got to do the things we know to do. But church, there's things in your life that you and I have no control over. And let God take care of those things and praise God. Thank Him for what He's doing and believe Him for what He's doing. And don't be concerned about what's around us, but be concerned about serving God. This isn't forever unless you want it to be. Problems in your life, unforgiveness. Whew, that's a good hot button. I love preaching that because people get mad at me. And I just say, go read the Word. You don't know, preacher, what's been said. You don't know what's happened. It doesn't matter. Don't bring that to me. Bring it to God, and He'll say, what are you talking about? Forgive them. Get over it. Circumstances, preacher, it's affecting me. You know what's affecting you? You are affecting you. I can get myself in a place that I'm the one affecting me because I won't let go of things. Then it becomes a permanent thing for me. It becomes a place in my life that I can't get around. I can't get over. I can't get through it. It just pops up every time I turn around. Get up to God and get over it. Preaching good now. Woo. It's not forever. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, But the God of all grace, who hath called us into eternal glory, By Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, shall make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. That whole verse right there is a full sermon. But when you have went through some things, when you went through what you're going through now, and it seemed like there's no way around it, and church, I can tell you, to look at it and say, do we deserve this? I can't find anywhere where I can say, Lord, I don't deserve this, because I got some bad news for us. Nothing we will encounter that Christ has not encountered. Has anybody been nailed to a cross? Has anybody been on a whipping post? Has anybody been persecuted like Christ was? No, we hadn't, Brother Junior. So that didn't put me in a place of negotiation, Brother Elder. I just have to say, Lord, I don't know why and I don't understand, but it's in your hand. God's going to see me through
this time in my life, and he's going to settle me and strengthen me. Praise be unto God. Are you glad for this God that has grace that is sufficient? Paul prayed, and Paul prayed. I believe the scripture says three times for this thorn in his side. You know, scholars have all kind of ideas about it, about what it was, his eyesight, and so on and so forth. And I put my interpretation in it. I think it's because he's standing there holding the coats of the men that stoned Stephen. Now, you don't have to take that. That's just chapter 2 in Brother Eddie's version here. Why would you think that, preacher? Have you learned a little bit of the way the devil works? Scripture says we're not ignorant of his devices. So we ought to know that when we've got mistakes in our life, in our past, the first thing he's going to do is bring them up. And when you start getting close to God, get ready. He'll have you a list of everything you've done wrong the last 25 years. Of course, that's tough if you're just 20. Everything you've done, every time you failed, every time you come to the altar and tried, and nothing worked out for you, and you just fell back, and you went back and fell into the same sin, he'll remind you of that. Paul was standing there by the name, at that time his name was Saul. Stephen was a man of God, full of the Holy Ghost. He was being stoned to death, if you remember the scripture. And as he was there being stoned, Saul was standing there holding the coats of the men. And Brother Bobby, he had the authority to say, stop it. But Stephen, as he was being stoned and they were railing upon him, Brother Mike, he looks up into heaven. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Woo, glory. Now, that's some powerful testimony there. Now, whether it was Paul's eyesight or not, I don't know. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that there was something, a circumstance in Paul's life that affected him. Y'all with me? There was a circumstance that affected him, and as he began to pray, God spoke to him and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. So for some reason, God did not take that thorn from his flesh, but God gave him the grace to go through. Can somebody say, thank God for the grace he's given me to go through? The circumstances are bad, preacher. No, I understand. They can be. It can be a horrific time in your life, but I want to encourage you today. And another familiar scripture in Romans chapter 8, we've read this many times. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Christ shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So through all these tribulations, distress, persecutions, through all those things in our life, we are more than conquerors through him. Are you glad that you're a conqueror through Jesus Christ? You know why I like this so well, Brother Elder? Nobody can go. There can be no denomination. I mean, probably would somebody try to, but you can't go up and say, well, this sect of people or this type of person or any kind of scholar or anybody along that line can take the fact that we are only conquerors through Jesus Christ. Nobody else. Our Muslim folks and Islamic believers and so on and so forth, sure, they're offended because of the Word of God. No other God before him. You want to get to the Father, go through Jesus. Folks, it's time we get out of being politically correct to be biblically correct and quit worrying. And listen, we're not Bible thumpers and we're not to be out there banging and telling everybody they're going to hell. But I tell you, we shall not and should not and better not compromise the Word. We can't pet sin. We can't say it's okay. We're going to have to come out and be a separate people. We're going to have to live it, not on Sunday, but on Monday too. Talked about this the other night. Listen, this is more than a Sunday occasion. This is an everyday, 24-hour a day, a week, a day walk with God. I'm a Christian. I'm a preacher all the time. Now, I'm a salesman by trade in the secular world, and as soon as I can get to the point where I don't have to be that salesman that day, I shut the computer off. I don't want to pick up my phone, but I'm still a Christian. I'm still a preacher. I'm still a believer. In the wee hours of the morning, I may wake up. You may wake up with whatever's keeping you awake at night. You may wake up in the middle of the night. You're praying. You just can't seem to get there. I'm telling you, God is there.
Encourage yourself and realize God is still God in your life. This is not forever, folks. Where we're at right here today, we are right here in the days of preparing for the forever. I'm preparing for forever. I could read some more. In Malachi 3:6, God said this. He said, I change not. He's still God. He's not changed, Sister Heather. Anything we read in this word, God's not changed. And I'm going to say this before I get off the stump. Anything you read, any kind of book or any kind of, if it's a Bible translation, shame on them. If it belittles and takes away from the deity of Christ, it is hogwash and false doctrine. Throw it away. They come and tell you Jesus was a good man. You get right up and kind of bristle up a little bit. It wouldn't hurt to get just a little bit fleshly. Say, no, he's not. He's the Son of God. He's my soon coming King. He's my Savior. Don't back down from who Jesus is. Speaking of Christ and preaching the truth of his word, that's sound doctrine. Preaching there's no other way except through Jesus Christ. That's the word of God. That's not some kind of legalistic idea trying to offend somebody. It's simply standing on the word of God. Praise God. Where we're at today is not forever. You know, here's something else we need to look at. This, I don't mean to put a down note on this, but you know, there's a lot of folks around here who's really excited. God's doing great things in their life. Realize this, there are going to come some battles in our life, but folks, I'm here to tell you, he is a refresher, like Sister Marty said. He will refresh us and renew us in the middle of darkness. You can be, and I can be, a light in the dark world. We can stand in these last days and be and hold that bloodstained banner of Christ proudly. And you know, I'm proud to be an American. Anybody proud to be an American? I tell you, there's hardly ever a time that they sing the pledge, the national anthem at a ball game or something like that, that I feel something on the inside, Brother Junior. I'm glad to be able to come here and preach about Jesus and serve him with my whole heart and not have any kind of repercussions of that. Y'all glad for that? Did you have to sneak around to get to church this morning? Did you have to take a back road and take your license plate off and so on and so forth? We're not slipping into nobody's basement to say about Jesus, are we? We can come out here and boldly. I can go down on the square and talk about Jesus down there. They've had revivals on the square. Now that's a blessing, folks. I'm going to say again, these things may not be forever here. We can have some things come our way. I'm going to talk on the things that are forever. Amen. I appreciate you today. We've been studying Revelation. Eternity is indefinite or infinite time without beginning, without end. It's endless. I can tell you right now, you and I cannot comprehend eternity with our minds. This is my other little cliche I jump on. You can't Google the answer of eternity. It can have you some kind of definition of what eternity. I just read you a definition of infinite time without beginning. It's endless. You can say those words, but I can tell you we're still not getting a grasp of eternity. It's forever. Eternity is forever. It is not coming back. There is no change. We're studying Revelation in the last several weeks. And you know, and the first thing people come up with a lot of times when you're talking about Revelation, and there again, I'll just touch on this real quick. I don't preach a lot about Revelations. I know a lot of denominations, a lot of preachers get really sideways and up on the horse about when the rapture is going to take place. Is it pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? I don't care. Y'all with me? What I care about is whether I'm ready. Anytime he wants to come, I better be ready. You know, I was out there yesterday. I'm going to bypass just a minute. I don't even have my watch with me. Y'all going to have to pray. Get my watch back. I was out there yesterday, out there doing some, cutting some brush and stuff and some limbs and things. And you know, the things you don't know about is the things you're going to have to let God take care of. And I had this one tree, and I was pushing on it with my hand. Had no idea. I'd looked. I mean, you could look up, you still couldn't see it. You know, there's things in life you really can't see. And truthfully, there's things you can't prepare for. Y'all still with me? Now, it would have helped if I'd had a hard hat on, but I didn't. It would have been smarter, wouldn't it? How many knows we don't always do things a smart way? It'd be smart of us to pray more and fast, wouldn't it? Sometimes we don't get that done. But I'm there, and I pushed on that a little bit, and I heard a little crack and a clump, and there's a limb come out of there. It was broke up in the top. I didn't see. I'm standing there pushing on it, and it falls right beside me. What are you saying, preacher? It wasn't my time. God, for some reason, didn't want me to get hurt. Y'all with me? Don't always work that way, does it? 6 inches over, maybe 8 inches over. I preached last week about missing heaven 18 inches. Could be 16 inches you can miss it. Kind of depends on how long your neck is. Y'all with me? Those who wasn't there last week don't know what I'm talking about. It could have been over just a few more inches, and that could have, you know, could have been a different situation. What do you got to do, preacher? You got to trust God. Mark of the beast is something that we have a lot talked about, and people ask a lot of questions about. The scripture of not having the mark in your forehead or on your hand, so on and so forth. If you don't have this mark, you can't buy or sell. I want to tell you something right now. The first thing you need to do is be born again, blood bought. Surrender your life to Christ. If you don't have the blood applied, you got problems. But Brother Junior, I'm serving a God, and He's not going to let one of His children take eternal damnation. Scriptures bears out, if they take the mark, there is no turning back. There is no coming back. It is forever. And I'm here to tell you right now, don't let fear grip your life. If you're a child of the King, He's not going to let you take something that's going to damn your soul to hell. We talk about this a lot. You think I wouldn't move heaven and earth to keep my son from being damned to eternal darkness? I'd do all I could possibly do to stop that. And He said, if you think you treat your kids right, this is my interpretation, you don't have a clue what I do for you. You think you give your kids good? No, it's no comparison to what God does for us. This is not forever. And you be careful and you be cautious and allowing fear to grip your life, because, folks, there's not going to be something come our way. What's that mean, preacher? I can't proclaim it to you strong enough this morning. If there ever was a time for you and I to serve God like we've never served Him before, it's today. If there ever was a time for you and I to be faithful to God, and we say this a lot, not only when you're here at church, but when you're by yourself. Faithfulness to God will move mountains. Amen. Unfaithfulness and unbelief will move you away from God. That's simple. But when we realize that where we're at today is not forever, but when we look on this side of eternity, God changes not. He didn't prepare hell for us. He prepared it for the enemies of our soul. And folks, I'm here to tell you, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. So many people don't want to hear about that. They want to hear, well, this is just so many regulations and so many laws you got to do to be a Christian. No, that's not it at all. Hello? When you get saved and born again, you don't want to do those things. Woo, praise God. This life is not forever. The golden years won't last forever. Someday in the future, Brother Barney Doyle. How many loves old Brother Barney Doyle here? I love calling him Barney Doyle. Praise God. Some of these days, Brother Barney, you'll have new feet, son. You'll have no sorrow. This dear sister right here with you, my, is she not a blessing? Praise God. She'll be renewed and be refreshed and have a new body. My daddy won't have to hop around on one leg and have one arm that can't work, and mama won't have no trouble understanding and remembering anything. Sister Sarah, she'll just be doing well with her strength, and that's just to name a few. It's not forever. But for those, and I want to touch this again, for those that do not turn to God, is a different story. Hebrews mentions that, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How can we make it if we reject God? Folks, there is no hope for those that come against God. Read Revelation and you'll see the tragedy and the horrific problems and changing of this world upside down that's coming to America for one reason: rejecting Him. It's not because they were of different nature or a different look or different color. None of those things are the reason. The reason is rejecting of God. Those who turn him away will have no hope. Scripture bears out of eternal damnation, gnashing of teeth, and the list goes on of things that will be going on. There'll be no stopping the fire. We think we've had problems here in our life. There will be no relief coming on our way. There'll be no hope. Things in this life are not forever. Malachi 3 and 6, God says, I change not. Scripture says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you glad for that this morning? Stand with us, if you would, in this service. I have preached this today in faith believing. And I feel like he wanted you to hear this service today and this message. That what you go through here has no effect on your eternity. Y'all want to hear that again? The trials and the sorrows that you face in this life and that I face in this life has no effect on my eternity when I trust him. But does that not mean, it does not mean that we don't have times of needing him to strengthen us. Moses was standing with his hands up. And Sister Casey, as long as his hands were up, the battle in the valley was being won. He began to get weary, and his hands began to drop. This is Scripture. And when he began to lower his hands, the children of Israel began to lose the battle. There was a gentleman by the name of Aaron and Hur, got under one arm and another on the other arm. They began to help mate with him. They began to strengthen him. They began to help him hold his arms up. What are you saying, preacher? There's times in your life that you need help. And God is not taken down by that. He's not offended by that. He is willing and able to touch your life. Maybe you're here this morning. You need that help in the circumstances of your life. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're not prepared for eternal life and you need Jesus as your personal Savior. We're going to pray today in this service, and we're praying that God will move in your life. Father, today, touch lives here this morning, Lord. Minister in this house, we pray, strengthening, Lord, each and every one here today. Lord, if there's one doesn't know you, speak to them, Lord, today, and we'll praise you for it in your precious name. Hallelujah to the Lamb. As they begin to sing today, you're here. You need strength. You need God to move. Step out this morning. You need Jesus. There's not but one way to the heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. As they begin to sing.